I care not what Levistus has to say. I've seen the way he covets what is mine. To be an Archduke of Hell is to lust for my throne. Of all the devils, I know that best. But one would think Levistus would know better than to cross this particular line. I consider him a friend, and I like to keep my friends from making terrible mistakes. You will return to the Fifth Circle, and you will remind him exactly why he is there and not ruling here in the Ninth. It doesn't matter how you choose to send that message. Burn down one of his cities. Kill some of his strongest lieutenants. You're creative. I'll leave it up to you. Now, go!
Ah. Hello, my love. I'm terribly sorry you had to hear that.
Politics. What are you doing hiding down there by the doorway, Even after all this time, you're still a little nervous. Well, I suppose it's only fair when you're so much smaller in comparison to me. So small. So delicate. But you know I would never see you come to harm. Let's get a better look at you. Come here, darling, to the foot of my throne. That's it. Good girl. Sit down on my cupped hands so I might lift you. And up we go. There. Such a good girl. Give me a kiss. Thank you so very much. I notice you're wearing the new dress I had made for you. Deep crimson, cut low with a flowing skirt. If you're feeling up to it later, I would very much like it if you danced for me today. You know how much I adore watching you. Ah, my sweet consort, you are just as beautiful as the day I first saw you. Do you remember that, dearest? I know I've told you this story before, but humour an old devil, won't you? I was in your home city some time ago, handling some sort of business or other. You of all people know that I never leave the Ninth Circle unless it is of the most dire importance. But why I was there isn't important. It hardly matters now. What matters is on that day I heard something beautiful. My dear, before I fell from grace, I heard all manner of songs. For countless centuries I listened to the otherworldly singing of the angels in the seven mounting heavens of Celestia. And yet, yours was the only one to ever take my breath away. Of course I had to find the source, and I did. There you were, in the garden of your father's mansion, surrounded by all manner of rare flowers and exotic plants. A pretty human girl, singing to her heart's content. Forbidden fruit. I have an eye for souls, my dear, and yours was one of the purest I'd ever seen. Not a trace of sin to be found on you, and that is a rare gift, especially in a city under my jurisdiction. You can hardly blame me. I had to get closer. I had to see for myself. Up close and personal. And the way your eyes lit up when you saw me, oh, how it struck something in me, darling. That you might look at me that way all the time. Even before I knew you, I knew that was what I wanted. Of course, you didn't know who I was. What I was. You just saw an older man leaning on a ruby-tipped cane who asked if he might rest his weary legs a while in your garden. I remember you were a little nervous, letting a stranger into your garden, how your father wouldn't be happy if he knew. But he didn't have to know. Even without sin, you had just a hint of rebellious streak. It was so endearing. We sat and talked for a while. I told you tales of my travels to far-off lands, of my own home.
though I left out some of the darker details, and the way you hung off my every word, the way your eyes never left mine. It was then I realized exactly how a soul, even in this city, could be free of sin. Your father locked you away, kept you from the outside world and all of its sinful influences, even himself. Whenever he had company over to discuss business, he sent you outside to the garden, isn't that right? Where you wouldn't overhear just what he and those degenerates were talking about. And you wanted to be free. Free from the pure, chaste life your father had planned for you. You wanted to find a husband, something your father forbade, who would take you away from your stuffy old mansion to another world. Deep inside you, I sensed something dark wanted out. And at that moment, I vowed to myself that I would set it free. I would set you free. It was at that moment your father left the mansion. Oh, how angry he was. I remember you cowering when you heard him yelling at you. But when he caught sight of me, his voice died in his throat almost immediately. He wasn't a fool. He knew exactly who I was. Even then, I think he knew what I wanted, what I was going to ask of him. And I did ask him. We left you in the garden to speak alone, and I asked him for your hand. I was prepared to court you, if that's what it took. It took some convincing. He didn't want to give you away to some other man, and I understood. I really did. But when he saw what I was prepared to offer him, he was a lot more receptive. I paid him a king's ransom for you, my love. Paltry, I know, you're worth so much more than mere material goods. But they were what I had. I drew up the contract, my riches, in exchange for your soul. Normally one can't sell a soul that does not belong to them. The courts in the Fourth Circle are very adamant on that, and not even I can break that law. But you were more than willing to go with me. You were so happy to finally be free from the prison of purity that you found yourself locked in. You put your arm in mine and away we went. Now, when we entered the gates of hell, I know it frightened you. The screaming of the damned, the suffering. I had to explain that there were no innocents in hell. Each and every one of those people deserved to be there, waiting for their judgment. I will admit, I do have a personal collection of souls. But you are forbidden to look upon them. It would only make you sad, darling. And to see you upset is the last thing that I want. All I want is to see you happy and smiling and laughing. My beautiful, adoring girl. You will never age here. The ravages of time will not find you down here. Your youth and beauty will be eternal. If I have my way, I will have you at my side for an eternity, talking to me, telling jokes, singing, sharing your company. And your body. And what an exquisite body it is. Come here, my love. Yes, 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 good girl. Spread your legs for me. Lift your skirt. Let me show you just how much I love you. No underwear. You remembered my instructions. Very good girl. Sometimes I like to tear them off you with a single claw, but today I'd rather save myself the trouble. Let me just trace one finger over your clit. Oh, you're shivering. Never fear, darling. My claw won't hurt you. It never has before, has it? I'm very good at this little game of ours, where I use only the pad of my finger to get you off. Oh, my good girl, my sweet girl. Moan for me, won't you? Let me hear that other song of yours. The one you sing only for me. Oh, that's a good girl.
It's a shame we don't have anyone to watch you come undone today. I know how much you enjoy that. Being splayed out on my hand, letting them watch me play with your little clit while I talk. I'm quite good at sounding disinterested, aren't I? Sounding bored? As if I'm not just as aroused as you are while I pleasure you. We might have to put a stop to those little sessions, unfortunately. After watching you come all over my hand, Archduke Clivistus seems to have the idea that you're available. You remember him, don't you? The Archduke who looks like a human. The one with the inky black eyes. If he even thinks of putting his hands on you, I will cast him into the icy depths myself. You are not his. You are mine. My consort. My lover. My sweet, darling little girl. Huh? You seem to enjoy that, darling. Hearing you belong to me? That your mind, your body, your mind, your soul all belong to me to do with as I please? Yes. I can tell by the way you're writhing under my touch that you like that very much. You're blushing almost as bright red as your dress. That darkness that wanted out. I've set it free. Now we are free to explore that darkness together. You're mine. And not even the gods themselves can take you away from me. And look at you. Reacting to my words and my touch, as if you can't help yourself. Writhing and moaning and wriggling. It's perfect. That's my good girl, my beautiful writhing siren. I adore you and worship you. Even as you wriggle and writhe on my hand, underneath my claw, desperate and needing and wanting to be fulfilled, wanting to come undone, you only ever become more and more beautiful. And you are my girl, my good girl. Some might say my perfect girl. The one made only for me, the one soul that I truly, in all of creation, love. Who else could it be but you? And look at how prettily you do this for me. You're going to come, my darling. My sweet little consort is going to come, moaning my name, just from one of my fingers. Go on, chase it. Chase that pleasure. Let yourself go over that edge. Let it all out. Come. Come for me. Come. Oh. Oh, that was wonderful, love. Just wonderful. You did so well for me. Normally, I'd be inclined to clean up my mess with my tongue. But you look exhausted, so I shan't torment you so. Let me set you down in your golden cage, hanging beside my throne. Rest. Wrap yourself in the mess of blankets and lay on the pillows until you've got your energy back. And then perhaps we'll have time for a round two. There we are, my dearest love. Rest. I love you more than life itself. And I will do all in my power to protect you.